And we're back here on News Radio KMAN talking about the Midwest Open geocaching adventure. And we're not hard to find this morning, but here later in April, there's going to be a little bit of a treasure hunt, if you will, going on here around the Flint Hills. Ryan Semmel this morning, joined by Lissa Semmel and also Christina Schmidt, talking about a really exciting event coming up here in Manhattan. And Ryan, before the break, we were talking about the Geocaching Society. It's just a culture of people who enjoy going out and finding things. And as we were just passing around these beautiful commemorative coins. And so here in the middle of April, we're going to have plenty of people coming to Manhattan to participate in this. And this has been in the works for a year, I've gathered, the Home on the Range event. And maybe just tell us a little bit more. This is the first Midwest Open geocaching adventure coming to Kansas. What inspired you a year ago to announce this?
Actually, the planning started 2 years ago. I was at a Midwest Open geocaching adventure in Missouri. And just to bring people and show them the Flint Hills. I know Christina said it earlier, the flat Kansas. When we announced last year in Cincinnati, last year's was held in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they had close to 2,000 geocachers there because they brought a lot of the local community in. And when we made the announcement, they're like, oh, it's flat. So bring them to the Flint Hills to show them that Kansas is a beautiful area. When we planned on bringing it here, we wanted to showcase Kansas. So if you notice, Home on the Range, most people, when they think of Kansas, you think of the songs Home on the Range and what Kansas used to be. With the Home on the Range cabin is one of the things that actually brought in the theme of Home on the Range for our MOGA. So that was one of the themes, just to bring people to Kansas. So it's not what they traditionally think of with Kansas.
Well, and Ryan, I know just minutes ago we were talking about all the friends you've made from around the world through geocaching, and you also have a wife sitting right next to you this morning who's also very in tune with geocaching. And Lissa, you say you've helped with some of the volunteer coordinating. How many people do you have helping out with the event here on April 20th?
Right now, I believe we have about 25 people signed up to help out. We're still looking for more volunteers. There's a lot of little areas that you wouldn't think about. We have a store where people can come and buy a little extra things, more geo coins, t-shirts, things like that. So we'll need people to man the store. We need people to help run the competitions themselves. We call them, I guess, runners, right? To kind of go through and make sure that everybody's staying safe, that nobody's stranded in the woods without any help. And then other things just throughout the weekend just to make things run smoothly. So we're still looking for some volunteers. We have a couple of people that are doubling and tripling up on their volunteer slots. But, we're just looking for people who are interested in helping out in the community. And
how did you get interested in geocaching? Was it through Ryan?
Yes. He started geocaching when we lived in Germany about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And he actually was back in the States for training through the military. And when he came back, he's like, we're going to go geocaching. And we're going to go to this event. And I was like, okay.
Kind of one of those crazy whims then, right?
Yeah, it really kind of was. And but the whole family loved it. It's a great way to get out in the community and see things that you wouldn't normally see. We actually saw a lot of Europe that way that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. And we've actually seen a lot of Kansas that way also. I know there's a cabin
Pillsbury.
Yeah, out by Pillsbury Crossing that nobody seems to know about, but there was a geocache there, and that's how we found it.
Well, and that's exciting. I mean, you talk about doing geocaching in Europe. What a unique twist on being a typical tourist, right?
Exactly. We were blessed. We actually had some German friends who spoke very good English, and they were able to translate a lot of the geocaching websites for us and tell us exactly what we were looking for in some ways. But, it was a great way to meet a lot of Europeans and a lot of people that we wouldn't have otherwise met.
Well, and when you talk about volunteers, I mean, how many people do you know locally who participate in geocaching? Because I'm assuming you've been able to tap into your circle of local geocachers to help make this possible.
Yes. On our Facebook page, we have probably about 220, 230 friends on our Facebook page. Now, we don't limit our Facebook page just to Manhattan. I would say in Manhattan, people hiding over at the college and on posts and stuff like that, there's probably about 40 to 50 people, easily, or families, that will come out and geocache at any given time. And that's just that come out to events. We have events all the time. So I know on a typical event that we normally do, they'll have probably 30 to 40 people just show up at a restaurant just to sit down and talk about geocaching and everything else. It's become a family.
Yeah. And that draw comes from as far west as Salina and far east as Topeka. So.
Well, and when you talk about it, you know, last year's Midwest Open was in Cincinnati. Being able to bring this out to Kansas probably makes it just a little bit more accessible to more people too, right? Because not everyone has the opportunity to just go to Cincinnati for a weekend.
Yes. I know locally, when we actually made the announcement, there was plenty of people who were happy to know that it's coming to Kansas and they're able to do such a thing.
Well, and maybe you talk about too, well, actually, we're going to go to the phone lines right now. Caller, you're on In Focus.
Yes, you're talking about enjoying the Flint Hills in our area. We had a Chinese lawyer come in to visit, and he came into Kansas City Airport in the night and drove to the house in the night and didn't see anything, spent the time, and then we took him out of here during the daytime, and he was glued to the window with his camera doing the oh my thing all through the Flint Hills, the things that we look at all the time and don't think anything about it. Thank you so much for widening our horizons.
Yes, I know, like he said, the caller was just saying, I know when we place our geo art, it's going to be down south. Driving through the Flint Hills, just some of the areas you drive through, you don't realize
it. The old barns, the old buildings, the stone structures, it's incredible.
How did you go about picking what sites you used for your geocaches?
Well, some of it's limited because in geocaching, they try not to have them so close. So we have to keep them at least a tenth of a mile apart. But we like to bring people to places that we want to take them. Now, the GeoArt, with that one there, we just had to put it where we could put 146 geocaches. So there's going to be people. We actually launched that GeoArt is what we call it. It's 146 geocaches that are along a trail that people are going to go out, drive to each one of them, find. And when you actually look at it on the map, the way that we make the coordinates, they look like a big covered wagon that's on the map.
And you have to have a GPS to participate in this, right? Probably for the
you
best.
You used to.
You used to.
With technology, the way it's increasing, cell phones is a very big way. Most, I would probably say about 40 to 60% of people use just cell phones. There's probably about 20 or 30 different geocaching apps out there now. There's one specifically made by geocaching.com, which is the website that we have to use or that we try to use for that's where all the coordinates are put.
Well, it's 9:43 here at KMAN's In Focus. Ryan Semmel with us from the Midwest Open Geocaching Adventure. And Ryan, this event, once again, when's it coming up? And where can people go to get more information?
The event's actually the whole weekend of April 22nd. And one of the best places to get all the information is on our website. It's www.mogageo.com. And that has all the events, activities we've been talking about. And it also has where you can register. Like I said, it's a free registration. Just come out and enjoy everybody out there. Also, there are phone numbers out there on the website. 785-430-MOGA. It puts you in contact with any of us. If you're just interested in geocaching, we do have a Facebook page, Flint Hills Geocaching on Facebook.
Well, it sounds like an exciting event. Coming up next, we'll be talking about the Manhattan Pilot Club. Keep it tuned right here to News Radio KMAN.
When catastrophe hits and your home